Well, good morning. Don't you love to praise the Lord? Isn't it good? Amen. Well, I'm glad you feel that way. How about anybody over here? Do I have one? Okay. Amen. How about here? Two? All right. How about everybody? All right. All right. I'll start over again. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. Thank you for being here this morning, whether you are here in our sanctuary or there streaming online with us. Are you ready for the word this morning to renew your mind?
Yes.
Amen. I must have some sort of a cold or something. My head must be plugged up because I can't hear you. Are you ready for the word this morning?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Let's read Ephesians 4:23. Okay, you can just turn there if you would. And, you know, I was going to have Gary come up here and pray, but I have definitely caught him doing something that he is real busy. Can you come up here and pray? All right. All right. Why don't you turn to Ephesians? In fact, turn to 4:20. Okay, we'll read the whole passage, and you'll get an idea what that's all about.
Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. God, thank you. Father, we thank you that you are here with us, God. Father, we know that you never leave us, you never forsake us, Lord, but we know that there's some times when we just don't sense your presence there. And Father, I thank you that we do today. God, as Pastor West preaches today, Lord, I thank you that he will do it with all authority that you've given him, God, all authority that you have in your word, Father, and that we will pay attention, Lord, that we will just take it in, God, and do what we need to do with it.
Yes.
Father, each one of us.
Let it be.
God, each one of us. No pitchforking today. Lord, we just thank you. We praise you. God, in Jesus' name.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody said,
amen.
Amen.
And amen. Amen. I like that. No pitchforking today. Do you know what he's talking about? That's like, this stuff isn't for me. It's for the guy behind me, right? Not for me. I guarantee you today that this is for all of you. Amen? And, you know, I can never figure this church out. We're usually leaning this way, but today, for some reason, we're leaning this way. There's more people over here than there is over here. You better get on your people, okay, to get here. All right, Ephesians 4:20. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct. How many of you this morning can say you have put off your former conduct?
Yes.
Amen. The old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Verse 23, why don't you read this with me? And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, one more time, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, or the new woman, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. We're in a series this morning and for the last couple of weeks called The Wonder of the Word. How many of you have found that the stuff that's been coming, what I've been preaching, it's kind of enlightened you? Okay? To where you didn't realize the word should take that much authority in your life. You didn't realize the word could be that strong in your life. I think many times we just have a habit of relegating the Bible to just a book. Come on. Just a history book of the redemption of man, which it is. But within those pages, and from what we've learned in the last couple of weeks, resides our God. Amen. The very heart of God, the very feelings of God, his intellectualism, if you will. And we can, if we want to know who God is, what do? All right, we read his word. Amen. Last week and the prior week, we were looking into 2 Timothy 3:16, where it says, and you can turn there if you like, or just look on the screen. Is it up there yet? All right. Let me read that to you. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. How much?
All.
Okay. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Every good work. We were discussing and defining what the Bible meant when it stated that the Word of God is profitable for doctrine. And we went through that, why doctrine is important, why doctrine is something that we have to have, that it should come from the Bible. Doctrine is actually who we are. It shapes what we do. All right? Then we talked about the word reproof, that it wasn't a normal word that we would normally use, but it's in there. And I decided to stop after reproof, believing that the Lord had said and told me to stop, and also believing that less can sometimes be more, okay? Meaning this, that if I teach on too many different points that I've had all week to put together, you know, I'm not no wise guy, I've had all week to put it together, and you have less than an hour, or half hour probably, really, 45 minutes, okay, if I get longer-winded, to take it in. So to ensure that you didn't get what would be called information overload, okay, I just stopped, hoping that you would be able to hold on to at least one of the points that I gave instead of giving you so many that you wouldn't hold on to any of the points that I gave. Amen? Hence the belief, okay, less is sometimes more and more is sometimes less. All right? Are you following me? It doesn't get much more confusing than that, okay? Now today, we're going to finish the scripture by defining the two remaining things that the Bible says and that it lists as being profitable for you and I, okay, concerning the Word of God. So right now, what I'd like to do is, and you're all sitting there wondering, hey, he didn't do the Bible declaration. Well, I'm going to do it now, okay? So why don't we stand together, and we'll repeat our Bible declaration together. Take your Bible in your hand, hold it to heaven, your phone, whatever you got. Are you ready?
Ready.
Okay. Are you ready?
Ready.
This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I'll boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, let's go. Amen. Let's go. Now, before I really get really going here, I got to show you something that I think is really cool. Yeah. Everybody grab your Bible that's in front of you in the pew and notice. Okay? Notice. We're no longer LaGrave Reformed Church, okay? We got our own Bibles with our own insignia on there, thanks to Brittany and Kevin. Amen?
Yeah.
I think it's awesome. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Amen. Are you ready for the Word?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. Paul went on to write that the Word of God is profitable for correction. And we mentioned it last week, but it's like, hold on, isn't reproof what we just talked about? Isn't that basically the same word as correction? You know, isn't that kind of repetitious? What could possibly be the difference between reproof and correction? The definition of the word correction is actually quite different, if you will, from the definition of the word reproof, and I'm going to show you that. The reason like it doesn't seem like it, and I have a hard time saying this, but it's true, is because the translation to the word correction is said to be not the best translation of the Greek word, which is epinorthosis, okay? And I'll try to give you a better definition, not from me, but from another a Bible scholar. And I'll say that. Some Greek scholars, I can almost talk today, can't I? Some Greek scholars say that this word is very, very difficult to translate. So the following definition is known as a serious attempt to translate and convey its meaning, okay? The word epinorthosis is actually a Greek triple compound word, here we go, composed of the words epi, an, and orthos, okay? Epi, an, and orthos. When epi and an are put together, the new word means whenever, at any moment, or at any time. And when the third Greek word in this triple compound word is added in there, which is orthos, which means straight or straighten or straighten up, okay, or to be upright or level. Paul was declaring that whenever, wherever, at any moment or at any time that a person makes a decision to build their life upon the Word of God, you should begin to get excited here this morning, okay? When you would begin to build your life on the Word of God and to allow the light of that Word to shine into the deepest parts of your being in order to expose the dark areas that still need to be exposed, come on, come on. That Word right here, that Word will release the needed power required for the necessary change to put them upright and back on their feet again. Glory be to God. That's why when people are down and out, they read the Word, because it has the power to put them back on their feet again. How many of you have ever been in a position where you have to be put back on your feet again and you wish there was something there to do it? Well, the Word of God will do it. Amen? Amen. I mean, that's just too good. It's just too good. But it's also saying this, that the Word of God will lift a person, even if they have been knocked flat on their back in life, okay? It will pick them up and set them back up on their feet again. It reminds me of the 23rd Psalm, where it says in verse 3, it says, "He restores my soul." And we looked into that, you know? We found out the language in that passage means that he restores me back to the place where I was, the place where I fell off the track, the place where I backslid, okay? And by restoring me right there, see, he doesn't restore me not past the place where I was and not back to the beginning, okay? But right where I fell off, nothing lost and nothing gained. Glory to God. I mean, that is a great promise right there, that God will restore, he will restore my soul, and he'll set me back on the path right where I was. And if I've really repented, I don't suffer loss, okay? Are you with me this morning? Am I the only one? I'm getting too excited too early, okay? I mean, praise God. Praise God. In other words, this correction, if you will, that the Bible talks about that comes from God's Word, comes from God because it's within God's Word, will cause a believer, okay, once again, to stand straight, upright, or in other words, it'll make them straighten up. How many of you have read the Word and found out you needed to straighten up in an area? Yeah, all right, straighten up, regardless of how long you may have been down and out. And please hear me, okay? The Word of God will release so much power into that person's life that it will put them back on level ground. Glory to God. How many really know what level ground is? Or do we just read it in the Bible? Oh, he set me on level ground. I don't really know what that is, but praise God, you know? You guys are looking at me funny this morning. So what does the Bible mean by level ground, okay? Well, Pastor Wes, is ground without hills, right? The Hebrew root word for level ground is yasher, okay? Yasher. And it refers to the ground being straight and even, and it refers to ground that is pleasant and prosperous. All right, well, what does that mean? In other words, the Word of God puts you back to the place where your past won't haunt your future. How do I know? How do I know? Because it's a place that is pleasant and prosperous. And when my past keeps getting thrown in my face, it's not pleasant or prosperous. Amen? But if it's going to be pleasant or prosperous, my past is not going to haunt my future anymore. Glory to God. That ought to make you shout this morning. Praise God. Amen. So, once the power of the Word has put a person back on their feet, all right? It's hot up here. It will become what's known as their instruction in righteousness. Let me ask you again, how do we get to know the God of the Word? By reading the Word of God, okay? By reading the Word of God. Now, watch this. The word instruction is the Greek word paideia, okay? And it's taken from the word pais, which is a Greek word for child, okay, child. And the word that is used in this verse means, really, to train a child, okay? In New Testament times, it simply meant to educate a child or to give a child everything necessary to prepare him for life. So, this word refers to child training or the process of getting a child ready for life so that afterward they can be sent out fully equipped, glory to God, fully equipped, and successfully live as they were taught and trained to do. It was believed by the ancients, if you will, that such child training was essential for a successful life. You had to have it. Just as it is for you and I as children of the King. Amen? Take this and apply it to where it is. Now do it. Do the hermeneutical correct thing. Hermeneutically correct thing. Apply it to your life, okay? All right. The word righteousness, okay, you found out what instruction meant. The word righteousness is from the root word, which is the Greek word for that which is right or that which is just, okay? Right or just. Even though this word has a wide range of meanings in the New Testament and in the form that it is in this particular case, it refers to right living or just living. And it epitomizes those who live by a righteous standard, and that righteous standard results in righteous and upright living. When you connect the word instruction, connect that with the word instruction, the Greek tells us, now please hear this, because this is so important, that when God's word is taken into our hearts and applied to our lives, it fully equips us to successfully live by a higher standard that in turn leads to upright, godly, and clean living. Amen. Glory to God. The Bible will change you. It's still your decision, but the Bible will change you. The Word of God has a power in it to change who you are. I tried to change constantly when I was in the world. I would do things on Friday night that were just unforgivable, and Saturday I'd go, oh, I'm not ever going to do this again, and I couldn't do it. I couldn't quit the things until the Word of God and Jesus Christ came into my life. Amen? Do you know what I'm talking about this morning? You want more than anything to stop your way of life. You know it's wrong. You know you're hurting people. You want to get rid of it, but you can't. And that's what it's called to have addictions. That's when you're bound. And I love the fact that God's Word unbinds you. Amen? Amen. Amen. But when you put all these words and all these meanings together, okay, 2 Timothy 3:16 could read like this, and I just want you to know that when I read this, I'm not done preaching, okay? Amen. So you got some more to go, all right? All Scripture came into existence because God himself breathed upon men, who then wrote as this divine breath moved them, and thus the Word took shape and came into existence, and is a mandatory, essential, and absolute requirement for those things we affirm and believe to be true. The Word brings reproof, conviction, and censure into our lives. It can take anyone, including those who have been knocked flat on their backs in life, and it can set them back up on their feet again, regardless of how long they have been down and out. Glory to God. The Word of God will make them once again stand erect and upright. It will put them back on level ground, fully equipping them to successfully live life by a higher standard that leads to upright, godly, and clean living. The Bible can do all that. Amen? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All Scripture. That means that little bitty obscure Scripture that's tucked back in East Jesus somewhere, it can change your life. All right? Amen. Amen. The Word of God literally has the power to change your life and my life and put you on the path to righteous living or just living or right living. We were designed to live a certain way. We weren't designed to live the way a lot of us are living. Okay? And that's why we need something. We need the Word of God. We need Jesus. Okay? Oh, and by the way, the Word is who? Jesus. Okay. Now, as I don't really close, why don't you turn to Hebrews 4:12. Hebrews 4:12. Excuse me. Hebrews 4:12. Are you ready? For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. There's a word there that I think we actually, it's more than one word, but it's grouped. When you read in Scripture, it's grouped as one word. I think it would be beneficial for us to take a minute to look at what exactly the significance of it is. And that's this word, two-edged sword. What is a two-edged sword? Well, we kind of know what a two-edged sword is, but what does it mean? This doesn't seem to have two edges on it, you know? But it says that the word of God is a two-edged sword. So what's its significance? Why is it saying that? If you start digging and defining, you'll find out that the term two-edged sword appears in many places in the New Testament. So when something like this appears more than once in the Bible, it means it's pretty important. Amen? It means that it's something that we should pay attention to. For instance, when the Apostle John received his vision of Jesus on the Isle of Patmos in Revelation 1:16, he said this, "He had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength." Notice here that this two-edged sword came out of Jesus' mouth. Now, that's kind of an odd picture to make in your mind, you know. Why in the world would Jesus have a sword in his mouth, let alone coming out of his mouth? All right, shouldn't the sword either be by his side, you know, or in his hand? Why is it coming out of his mouth? The phrase two-edged is taken from the Greek word distomos, and it is said to be unquestionably one of the oddest words in the entire New Testament, okay? One of the oddest words. Why is it so odd? Because it's a compound word of the words di, meaning two, all right, and the word stomos, which is the Greek word for somebody's mouth, okay? So when these two words are put together, as they are in this verse, they actually describe something literally that is two-mouthed. So it's a two-mouthed sword, okay? So I guess you got to ask, why would the Bible refer to the Word of God repeatedly as a two-edged sword, or more literally, a two-mouthed sword? Well, this is why. And please, and I want you to hear this, and we've preached something similar before, but you know, I think that it's important that we grab hold of this aspect of the word to prove what we've preached so far, okay? The word of God is like a sword, okay? We know that. It says that it has two edges, cutting both ways, okay? Because that's what a double-edged sword does, and doing terrible damage to whatever is coming against you, okay? Ephesians 6:17 calls it the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The term word is taken from the Greek word rhema, and we're all familiar with the word rhema, okay, which it describes something that is spoken clearly and vividly and in unmistakable terms, okay, and in undeniable language. That's what rhema is. In the New Testament, the word rhema carries with it the idea of a quickened word, okay? So let me give you an example of a rhema or quickened word, all right? Let me just give you an example. Okay, let's say you're praying about a situation, and all of a sudden a Bible verse just rises up from inside your heart, okay? In other words, the Holy Spirit brings it back to your remembrance, and at that moment you are without a doubt completely and consciously aware that God has given you a verse to stand on to claim for your situation. How many of you have had that happen? Come on. You've received a word that came right from the mouth of God, and he dropped it right into your spirit. And I'm glad you know what I'm talking about this morning, because it's a very true thing, and it's something that will happen if you give yourself to the word. That word, okay, that word that God gives you, that scripture that God gives you, that scripture from God is so sharp that it cuts right through all of your questions. It cuts through all of your intellect, all of your natural logic. and then it lodges deep within your heart. Are you with me? After you've meditated on that rhema word, or that quickened word from God, that alive word from God, what happens is it suddenly releases its power inside of you, and everything within you wants to declare what God has said to you, all right? And when you do declare it, and I'm not saying before, but when you do declare it, those powerful words of God are like a mighty blade, if you will, given to drive back the forces of hell that have been marshaled against you and your family and your business, your ministry, your finances, your relationships, your body, your health, okay? Declaring it is what is called, you know, confessing the word, okay? Or releasing the word in your life or in your situation. Now please hear me. First, okay, say first. First, that word came out of the mouth of God, okay? Secondly, that word came out of your mouth. Amen, and this is exciting. The first edge of the sword came into existence when the word initially proceeded out of the mouth of God. The second edge of the sword was added when the word of God proceeded out of your mouth. Glory, you should give God some praise this morning. Amen? It's when you make that word alive, you know, it's alive in your heart and you speak it, and then all of a sudden it has that double edge. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now remember, the word of God remains a one-bladed sword, okay, when it comes out of the mouth of God. But if it's never released from your mouth, it stays that way. If it never comes out of your mouth in faith, it stays a one-bladed sword. If you don't declare that word, then that supernatural word that you received that just brought you out of your despair and just for some reason just ministered to you and you knew that you could claim for your situation, that supernatural word just simply lies dormant in your heart, never becoming the two-edged sword that God designed it to be. This has to do with faith, people, okay? But something happens in the realm of the Spirit, okay, when a believer rises up and begins to speak forth the Word of God. Something happens in the Spirit. The moment, say moment, say the moment. Okay, the moment that the Word, that promise, that precept, if you will, comes out of your mouth, the second edge is added to the blade, making it a two-edged sword that will cut both ways to do terrible damage to whatever is coming against you. I don't know about you, but I'm going to speak the word. You know why I'm going to speak the word? I want that double-edged sword. Amen? Amen. Amen. Nothing. Say nothing. Nothing is more powerful than this two-edged or two-mouthed sword. Nothing. Nothing. But you and God have to come to this place of agreement. Because through that agreement, God releases his mighty power into your situation. When I agree with the word that I've been given in my heart, when I let my mouth speak out that word, I'm showing my faith. Amen? Amen. And things begin to happen. But you and God have to come into agreement. You do. So it's up to you and I. Right? It's up to us to begin on purpose, say on purpose, to read the Word of God. It's up to us to on purpose be meditating on it, which includes digging and defining and figuring out these different words. That's part of it. We have to be giving the Word of God place in our life, a place of top priority in our daily religious routine. Okay? Oh, I don't have any religion. You better have some religion. You better have some things you do every day religiously. And one of those things is reading the Word of God. Then, say then. Then when you are confronted by a challenge from the demonic realm or from the earthly realm or from your in-laws or from whatever, all right? The Holy Spirit will be able to reach down into the reservoir of God's Word that you have stored up on the inside of you and pull up the exact scripture that you need for that moment. Do you want to know when that doesn't work? When you don't have a reservoir inside your spirit. See, he can bring anything back to remembrance. Amen? And I don't doubt that he can birth something at all. But the truth is, this is why we read the Word of God every day. This is why we never say, hey, I've read the Word, and think that's enough. Okay? You know? That's why. And as the quickened rhema word from God begins to fill your heart and to fill your mind, and then come out of your mouth, okay, it then becomes the two-mouthed sword that it was destined and designed to be. All right? Are you with me on that this morning? No, I mean, are you with me on that this morning? Are you ready to begin to start to read the Word of God, you know, daily? And are you ready to start allowing the Holy Spirit to remind you of things and then speak the Word out loud? Out loud. Say out loud. Out loud. There is power in that. And that's when the demons, all right, start to tremble in terror. At one time, just after we had gotten saved, Serena's brother was kind of giving it to us because we got saved. You know, how many of you know some people don't like it when you get saved? Anyway, and he was giving it to us, and I was just standing there watching. And every time he would say something to Serena, she would answer him with the Word of God. No, it says this. No, it says that. He got so frustrated and mad, he quit answering questions or asking questions. You know, so in that way, you know, Serena put that second edge on the sword so that it stopped the thing that was coming against her, because it was just something to damage her faith, especially as a new believer. See, it works whether you're a new believer or you're a seasoned believer. And I don't care if you're a seasoned believer or a new believer, you better be in the Word of God, amen? Come on. You better be in the Word of God, or you aren't really. I'll let you finish that. Amen? Are you with me this morning? Do you understand that the Word of God can change us? You have to agree. But the Word of God can change us. The Word of God can change your situations. Why? Because it's God-breathed. And he didn't just breathe it into his Word and then leave his Word. He stayed. Amen? Amen. I have a declaration for us today, if you would do that with me, if you would stand with me. Actually, got done a lot quicker than I thought. I must have got excited and talked fast. That's what it was. We don't do one of these every week anymore, but just remember, I'm going to say it, then you're going to repeat it. All right?
All right.
All right. Are you ready?
Ready.
I declare that God's word is a mighty and sharp two-edged sword
that releases its
power
when I speak it out of my mouth.
Come on. I declare
when I read the Word of God,
I will take it deeply into my heart.
I declare
when God says so,
I will release its power from my mouth
to thwart the enemy's strategies
and bring victory into every situation that I'm facing today.
I declare this in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name,
one more time,
in Jesus' name,
amen and amen.
Give the Lord praise this morning. He's given you everything that you need,
everything that you need.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you. You can be seated again, please.
Now, I've thought about this a lot, you know, and when you get into the Greek and things like that, the Bible says so much more. It doesn't negate what it says already, in no way. If it seems to negate what is said there, then you've not taken the Greek apart correctly. And I've been thinking about it and thinking about how extreme some of the truths that I've been telling you, that God is still in there, and understand what I'm saying, all right? And probably my biggest prayer for all of you is that nobody would think that I'm out in East Jesus somewhere, just giving you something that I either heard or I was able to dig out, and it really isn't true. It is true. Amen? It is the way that it is. And that takes that scripture that tells us that God has given us everything that we need for life and godliness in Christ Jesus and makes it real. Because let's follow it, okay? In the beginning was who? Okay, who's the Word?
Jesus.
Oh. He's given us everything that we need in the Word. Okay? In Jesus. Because you need Jesus to get the Holy Spirit to understand the Word. My biggest prayer is that you would be able to grab a hold of these past few messages and just really apply them. Because out of all the messages that I've preached, and I've probably said this too many times, but I think that this group of three is so important. It's so much truth, and it's so much life-changing truth that I just pray that you would get it.